I love this series. As Pastor Gabriel and I and Pastor Mike, as we were talking about kind of the series we were speaking throughout this year, whenever we talked about this idea, originally we were talking about just kind of the foundations of faith of being a Christian and following Jesus and the different parts of that. And then I love that Pastor Gabriel titled it Easter Every Day, because we so often forget that without the resurrection of Jesus, none of this matters. I think we focus a lot on the cross, which is good, because we resonate with the cross that Jesus died for us, for our sins, which is very good that we resonate with that. But sometimes we resonate so deeply with that, and we miss out that the resurrection is the point of all of it, is that he's alive. And because he's alive, we have new life. So we're talking about, what does this mean for us each and every day? How do we incorporate the resurrection into our daily life? And this morning, we're going to talk about, as Pastor Gabriel said, we're going to talk about commissioning. And what does it matter if Jesus rose from the dead if no one knows about it? Right? Like, people need to know about it. They need to hear about it. And faith comes by hearing. So we have to be able to take the message of Jesus and share it with other people. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what that means for us. About 10 days ago, on a Tuesday, I had sold a car. And so, like, we have all these different things. There's a high amount of coordination happening in the Headley house these past couple of weeks. We have kids playing lacrosse, kid playing golf. We finished up now, but, like, there's golf going on, flag football. Summer lacrosse season has started. So there's all this coordination going on. So every night, Brooke and I, kind of before we go to sleep, we sit down and we just plan the next day. Some of you can plan the whole week. We can't do that. We just got to take it day by day. So we're just planning the next day, like who's taking who where at what time. And so Monday night we agreed. The next night, Griffin has lacrosse practice and his flag football playoff game, and Nolan has lacrosse practice all at the same time. So we thought, all right, well, we want to both see the playoff game. So Brooke's going to take the kids down to lacrosse practice in Hoover. Then she's going to bring Griffin back. I'm going to meet them at the game. And then we're going to have to find Nolan a ride home from practice. So I was like, okay, no big deal. It's Monday night. I was like, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I'll text the coach and see if he can bring Nolan back to Trussville. He can just drop him off at the football field. Brooke's like, okay, great. We got it figured out. The next morning, Tuesday morning, wake up. And it's, 6:30 in the morning. We're getting ready, getting the kids out the door. And Brooke's like, hey, don't forget to text coach to bring Nolan. I was like, oh, absolutely. I'll take care of it. And then I grabbed Nolan. I put him in the car to take him to school and never thought about it again. Did not text the coach, right? So then the day goes by. Tuesdays are really busy for me. We got church stuff. I got work stuff. We got sports stuff. And I just completely forget. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, thankfully, my wife knows that I might not remember everything. So she texts me. She's like, hey, Nolan's got our ride home from practice, right? So I see the text come through. I don't open it. I don't respond. Because if I open it, she didn't even know this. She'll hear it next service. She doesn't even know. Because if I open it and, she'll know. Like, those dots are there. She'll know he's reading the message. But I didn't open the text message. I immediately got on GroupMe and messaged the coach. Said, hey, can you bring Nolan home from to the ball? I explain everything. And he says, yeah. And then I immediately text Brooke Beck. Yep, of course he does. Of course he's got a ride home. I took care of it. I know what I'm supposed to be responsible for here. So we're talking about the Great Commission. And sometimes I think when it comes to the Great Commission, this is what a lot of us do, is we hear it and like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. We're supposed to do that. And then we leave and we just promptly forget. It's not something we incorporate into our daily life. We just forget to do it. I knew someone that the church he went to growing up, every Sunday, I think it was Sunday morning or Sunday night, at one of their services every single week, there was a card that they would take out of the back of the seat in front of them, and it had a checkbox of all the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian. And it, like, every week they would check a box. Did you read your Bible this week? Yes. Did you pray this week? Yes. And it's like, did you share the gospel this week? And he would lean over and share the gospel with his sister and then check yes. He's like, my sister heard the gospel about 800 times from me. But I think a lot of times that's the way we think about, or we don't think about, the Great Commission. We hear it. We think, oh, yes, that's great. We should do this. We should be telling people about Jesus. But then we just go and we simply forget. So my goal today is just to kind of, one, walk through what is the Great Commission, why we're supposed to be doing it, but also to show you that you're probably already fulfilling the Great Commission in some areas of your life that you don't realize it. But you've probably also forgotten that it's a directive from Jesus that we're supposed to be doing all the time. I want to encourage you today to start living out the Great Commission with our words and our actions so that we are a church that lives this out day in and day out. We truly live Easter every single day, not once a year, not just when we go on a mission trip, not just those 2 weeks that we're there. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is one of the places we see the Great Commission. We're going to unpack this verse today. I'm going to go ahead and give you a spoiler alert. These are the 3 points of today's message. They're all right here in this verse, okay? This is all we're going to be talking about today. But the Great Commission shows up in Matthew, in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in Acts, it's all over the Gospels in the New Testament and the book of Acts. Like, the Great Commission is something that's prevalent through all those stories. So if every one of the Gospel authors and Luke decided to include it in both places, if they all wrote about it, it's got to be pretty important for us to do, right? So this is the directive from Jesus, Mark chapter 16, 15. And Jesus, all right, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Now, what is this good news? This good news is that Jesus is alive. He didn't say go into all the world and one time a year on Easter Sunday, tell everyone that Jesus is alive. No, he said go into all the world and preach this good news that Jesus is alive. He is risen. He came to earth full of grace, full of truth, full of love and forgiveness. He died on the cross so that we didn't have to die on a cross. And then he rose from the dead and he's alive. And because he's alive, we can have a relationship with him each and every day. We don't serve a God who's just dead. We serve a God who's alive. That's the good news. And Jesus says, hey, now that I'm alive, you got to go everywhere and you got to tell everyone this good news. See, the Great Commission isn't a suggestion. It's a key part of following Jesus. You know, all these things that we're talking about in this series, baptism, communion, marriage, all these things, the commissioning, next week, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and all these things you're talking about, they are all directives from Jesus. They're not suggestions. They are key parts of following him. So the first part of this, all right, the first part of Jesus' directive this morning, number one is go. Go. Go simply means to not stay. You can't be staying and going at the same time. A lot of us are really good at staying. Like, we're great at staying. Like, we can sit with the best of them. But Jesus doesn't say stay where you are. He says go. It's all about intentional action. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. It's intentional action. Mark 16, 15, we just read it. Jesus says go. He doesn't say stay. He says go into all the world. Now, this word go it's a directive from Jesus to take intentional action and to move in a certain direction. It's to move somewhere. Now, the other day, our kids, they have nightly chores, and I won't tell you which kid this story is about because they don't always love. They love when I tell stories about them and they're good stories. When they're not good stories, they don't like me to mention their name. But one of the kids was playing video games in the front room of our house, and his nightly chore was to take out the trash. I said his, so you know it's not our daughter because she doesn't play video games anyways. That's only the boys. But his nightly chore was to take out the trash. And, you know, I walk in there, and I'm like, hey, take out the trash. He says, okay, yeah, no problem, I will. When do I need to do it? And I was like, you need to do it real soon. He goes, okay, let me, after this game. I was like, fine. And then 20 minutes go by. I walk in there and I'm like, hey, you need to take out the trash. That's your nightly chore. And he's like, okay, yeah, I got it. I got it, Dad. I got it. I'll take out the trash. I'm like, no, take it out right now. And he's like, okay, I'll do it as soon as this game's over. And I leave. 20, 30 minutes go by. I come back in. I'm like, I know that game is over. Like, you must have started it. Take out the trash. And he's like, I will. I'll take out the trash. Why don't it have to happen right now? Might have teenagers, right? You know what I'm talking about, these kind of conversations. And then it's like, look, take out the trash right now. And then he has the audacity and the stupidity to say, I am. I'm like, no, you're not. You're playing video games. Like, take out the trash. I am, Dad. I'm taking it out. I'm taking it out right. No, you're not. You're playing video games. When I say go do something, you have to actually go and do it. You can't just say you're going to do it. Now, I want you to imagine with me just for a minute. Imagine with me that he was sitting right over there in those seats. I'm not saying it was Ethan, but he is sitting there, and he's my son. And then, like, let's just imagine there, if I'm on stage and I'm like, hey, take out the trash. And he's like, that's good. That's a good word. Like, hey, I need you to go take out the trash. Preach it. Preach it, Pastor Nathan. It's like, I need you to take out the trash. Hold on. Let me write that. Take out the trash. That's good. That's good stuff. And then he never takes out the trash. You see it? Right? Because sometimes that's what we do, right? We come in here and we hear these things like, oh, we're supposed to go and do this. Like, that's so good. Like, yes, I want to do that. That's awesome. And then we leave and we just don't do it. Jesus said we're supposed to go, right? When one of the kids was playing video games and they yelled, I am, it's like, you're not. Somewhere, somehow, he thought if he just yelled, I am, he wouldn't realize that I'm right next to him watching him play video games. Like, no, you're not doing it. See, Jesus says that the first part of this great commission, the first part of commissioning is you got to go. One of my professors in Bible college said, God can't move a parked car. So just start driving and then God will direct you. I always thought, there's some truth to that. I mean, now sometimes, yes, God says, sit and wait before him and we're supposed to be still before the Lord and then he'll give us the direction to go. But I think what she was saying is so true for so many believers. We get stuck just sitting, waiting. All right, tell me a specific direction. Like, and God's just like, go, and then I'll direct you where to go. I'll tell you if you got to start moving though. You got to start going, right? There's a story in Matthew that we've heard, and I'm sure a lot of you've heard these stories. Or you've heard this teaching of Jesus in the story I'm going to tell. And it's had kind of a different application for your life. I want you to think about it in the context of this great commission. In the context of this idea that we're supposed to be going. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, a lot of us have probably heard this parable before, and it's all about listening to the teaching of Jesus and obeying. But my guess is hardly any of us have applied that to the Great Commission. We haven't thought about that in the teaching that Jesus says, go and do this. I'm directing you to do this. And if we don't listen, if we don't obey, then we're foolish. I think there's a lot of reasons why we can apply this here. One, it's a part of, we should be sharing the message of Jesus. We want everyone that can end up in heaven with us to be there. Like, we want everyone to be there. We don't want anyone to suffer the death and destruction that comes whenever you don't follow Jesus. Like, we don't want that for them, so we want that. But also, we're missing out on so many of the blessings and joy that God has for us in life if we don't fulfill his great commission. I don't know if I've ever felt closer to Jesus than when I was talking to someone about Jesus. He says, if you do what I tell you to do, if you listen to my teaching, if you follow it, you're wise, so much so that your life is going to be built on a bedrock. So if we're sharing the good news of Jesus, if we're listening to that teaching, he's promising us here. He's saying, look, the floodwaters of life are going to rise, but you're going to stand firm. So the first part of this Great Commission is that we're supposed to go. If we go, we're taking intentional action to share the grace and forgiveness and love story of Jesus. And when we do that, we build our own house on bedrock. Well, where am I supposed to go? I'm glad you asked. Number two, where do we go? Into all the world. That's everywhere. I don't know if you knew that. Like, that's everywhere, what Jesus says. A number of years ago, Brooke and I, we picked up our family. We moved to Southern California. We were part of a church planting network there, and we're at the main location there, where the sending church. We're there for 6 months, and we're praying about where we're going to start a new church. And we knew we were going to start a new church. We felt like that's what God had called us to do. We just didn't know where yet. So we're driving around the whole, like, Southern California area. We're praying over different cities. We're looking at what cities we think our family would thrive in, places that need churches in different communities. And we're praying about this. And we spent, weeks, months just praying about where are we supposed to go. And I wish I could tell you, like, we arrived in a city and just had, like, one of these aha moments that God was like, this is where you're supposed to go. You know, we just didn't have that moment. And we're praying, and I finally met with kind of the founding pastor of that whole network that was planting churches and stuff. And we were sitting down, and he's like, all right, where do you guys think about going? And I was like, man, we have, like, three places, and we're trying to decide between the three. And I just really don't know. I'm kind of at a loss. And we've been going in those cities. We've been walking around. We've been praying. And I just don't, I don't know. So he starts asking me a few questions, you know, about our family, where we think, well, our kids would work out best in schools, and kind of like, hey, maybe base it on where you think your family will fit. And we're talking through this. And then he can see just the anguish inside of me. Like, I just desperately don't want to make the wrong decision. And I'm just going back and forth and weighing all the pros and cons. And then I'm also just like, okay, I'll throw that out. God, I'll just go wherever you want me to go. But I don't feel like I'm just hearing clearly from God. And he opens this scripture and he's like, hey, you know the Great Commission? I said, yes. It's like, remember when Jesus said, go into all the world? I said, yeah. He goes, so I think if you're on planet Earth, you're probably okay. So just pick one. Like, just pick. And I was like, it was so freeing in that moment as someone that grew up Pentecostal that, like, you know, we kind of emphasize a lot in Pentecostal circles, like, God has a specific purpose and plan for your life, and you got to be in it, and if you're not in it, you're out of it. And there's like, yeah, I want to be in it. I don't know. And he's just like, if you're on earth, you're probably good. Just go there. And so we did. We just picked one and started it, and God just showed up in incredible ways. See, the thing is we're supposed to go everywhere into all the world. So what that means is a few things. One, you're called to where you are right now. Wherever you live, you're called to share the good news of Jesus right where you are. But that also means that maybe you're going to a new place, you're going to a new college, or you're going to a new job. You are now called to that place because you're called everywhere. As well as maybe we don't have to spend as much time trying to decide specific locations. Instead, we just go where life takes us and we share the gospel of Jesus there. But it also means that there are some of us that are called to specific places. There are people, you know, we typically refer to them as full-time missionaries. And they have a specific calling on their life to leave their home, to leave their country, to move to a different country. And with the sole purpose of sharing the gospel there. There are specific people that is the calling on their life. That is not for everyone, but it is for someone. And it is for some people. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. This is Jesus here again sharing the Great Commission in another form to his disciples. But what I want us to see here is Jesus kind of gives us a vision and he gives us a directive for what all the world means. So, this is verse 6. So, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Now, we're gonna come back to this verse in a little while. I want you to remember this part here, right? The apostles here, they're thinking one thing and Jesus is thinking something else. They're thinking, okay, Jesus, now you're alive. Is it time for Israel to be established as a nation on earth again? Is it time for the Israelite kingdom of old to be reestablished and to rule the earth? And then Jesus replies, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. So, there's a lot of talk about the end times. If you hang around the church, you know, for any amount of time, people talk about the end times, what the end times are going to look like, when Jesus is going to come back, like when he's going to come back riding on the white horse, when is Israel going to be reestablished? This is what the apostles are like, when is this going to happen? And Jesus says, hey, only the Father knows, and you don't know, and you don't get to know. So anytime someone stands up and says, Jesus is coming back on this day, time, and year, they're like, well, he's not anymore because now you figured out he's got to change his date. That's the way I look at it, at least. They're like, Jesus is coming back May the 17th, 2026. And I was like, well, maybe he was, but now you ruined it. Because Jesus said, you don't get to know. So if you think you know, that's what my theory is, like, Jesus has been waiting for, like, years. And, like, I'm ready. And every time God picks a day, some idiot's like, that's the day. And he's like, okay, let's pick another one. No, that's, I don't think that's really true. But you never know. You never know what happens up there. We're not there yet. Verse 8. But here's Jesus, right? He's redirecting the apostles here. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're going to talk about that next week. And you will be my witnesses. Now, this word witness here, it's not like witness on a witness stand. It's not, oh, you've been accused of something and you're going to sit on a witness stand and people are going to ask you questions you're going to witness. No, this word, a more accurate representation of this word would be like an ambassador. That's what Paul calls us in 1 Corinthians, that we are an ambassador of Jesus. We're his representative, okay? We represent Jesus where we go. He says, and you will be my representatives, you will be my ambassadors, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, all right? Into all the world, everywhere. And then look what Jesus says, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, he lays out a directive, but he also lays out a vision here. And I want to show us today how this vision looks like for each and every day for us, all right? So Jerusalem, okay, Jerusalem, you can equate this with your family. Where am I to share the good news? Where am I to share the gospel? The first part is Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the inner part of Israel. That's where they live. That's your family. We're supposed to be sharing the gospel with our family. Now, in our house, maybe a lot of, you know, some of you I know are like us. You got kids that play sports and you live busy lives. And we spend a lot of time talking about just getting kids where they need to go. We spend a lot of time talking about the details. We spend a lot of time talking about what food we're going to eat. We spend a lot of time talking about what we're going to do on the weekends and Saturday and what kind of fun we're going to have. But we need to also be spending time talking about Jesus as a family. Just sharing the gospel, sharing the good news so that our kids and our spouses are having those intentional conversations all the time. Because when Jesus says go into all the world, he also means your family in your house. And he lays out this vision. Jerusalem, the people that are closest to you, your family, we're to be sharing the good news with our family. We're to teach our kids not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Pastor Gabriel and I were talking about this earlier. You know, there's the stats been around for generations that there's a huge amount of percentage of kids that walk away from faith whenever they leave high school, when they leave their parents' house and they go out. And there's all kinds of, you know, analysis of why that happens. And, you know, and our goal as a church is always to be, again, to be the exception to that statistic, right? Is that we train our students and our youth and our kids to follow Jesus. And so that they follow Jesus even when they go out of this place, right? Like that's our goal as a church family. That's a goal as an immediate family. But one of the things that some people were talking about recently is a lot of times they think that people, kids, when they leave their house and they go out and, you know, on their own, they stop believing in Jesus. They stop following the faith because maybe we've taught them what we believe and not why we believe it. So part of sharing the good news of Jesus is talking about why. Like, why do we believe that Jesus did this? Why is this important to our life? And that goes into sharing your own stories. Sharing your own stories with your kids. The times that God spoke to you in your life, that God showed up, he provided, he protected, he healed, or whatever. And making sure that our kids and our families and our siblings and our spouses, that we all know the stories of Jesus in our life. The things that he's done for us. So the first place is Jerusalem, which is our family. And I'm going to brag on my wife here for a minute. She's not here, so she'll still get a reward in heaven because she doesn't get to hear it. In second service, I'll cut it out. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, we were talking about this a while back as a family, and we want to make sure that we're, you know, talking to our kids. Like, we have verses posted. We've done different things over the years. As our kids have grown and life has changed, we've had to evolve the different things that we've done. You know, we used to all sit down and pray together before they went to bed. And then they started going to bed at wildly different times of one another. So that wasn't realistic because we're putting one kid down and two of them aren't even home yet from sports or whatever. But about a year, I don't know, maybe a year ago, a little less than that, Brooke said, hey, we got sports and stuff. Let's have an intentional family night where we eat dinner together. And we plan this family night. But then also she's like, and why don't we make sure not only to do, we talk about some stuff at the table. We have like a little rhythm thing that we do. Not only do we do that, but let's also spend some specific time like just watching something. And so our kids are like hearing it from us, but they're also hearing it from others with us in the room, and then we can discuss it. So for about the last year, we've been watching either The Chosen or like a Bible Project video or something. Just after dinner, we sit down. The kids know that we're going to do it. They may complain about it sometimes, but then eventually they fall into like, hey, we're doing it whether you want to or not. But then after those videos are over, we just sit and we just talk about what God spoke to us through that video. And I think it's been really powerful for our family. And I mean, the credit to Brooke for thinking of this, but to not just as parents be like telling our kids, but also showing them that whenever we learn or whenever we hear and we watch, we also learn and we grow and we think things through as well. So Jerusalem is your family. Judea, he says, Jerusalem, Judea. Now, Judea is, I'm going to call that your sphere of influence, okay? These are like the second places. So not only do we share the gospel at home with our family, we share it with the people that we're around day in, day out, our workplaces, our schools, okay? The places that we frequent every single day that we have influence in that environment. So, I mean, it only takes one person on a work team to change the whole dynamic of that team. It only takes one person to stand up and say, hey, we're going to operate with integrity. Like, I don't think we're not going to lie. We're not going to overinflate our numbers. Like, let's be honest and operate with integrity. The same thing is true. It only takes one person that shares forgiveness and love and the story of Jesus to change the whole atmosphere of a team. So we're called to our workplaces. We're called to our schools to share the good news of Jesus. The next place is Samaria. Now, Samaria, practically, I would say those are like what we call our third places. Those are the coffee shop you go to all the time, or the restaurant you frequent, or the pubs you go to, or wherever you go to that you're there all the time. Maybe it's the sideline of your kid's sports game, right? Like you're there and you see the same parents every day of every moment of every day that you're not sleeping or working. You're at that ball field. Anybody, right? Like those people, that's like your third places. But also when Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and Judea, these are places very familiar to the Jewish people. When he says go to Samaria, he's also expanding this a little bit. Because the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. There was a cultural, political, relational rift that had happened and had been there for generations. So when Jesus said go to Samaria, he's saying also go to the people who don't look like you, who don't talk the same way you talk, who didn't vote the same way you vote, that eat different foods that you eat, and go to those people and treat them the way you would treat your family. Share the good news with them. Represent Jesus. Represent love, grace, truth, forgiveness to the people that don't look, talk, act, and sound just like you. So we're to share the gospel to all those places. You know, you got your first places, your family, your second places, those that sphere of influence, the place that you can influence. Those third places, the places that you're there and you see those people. And then the fourth place is to the ends of the earth. So these are other cities and countries that you're specifically going there for a purpose to share the good news of Jesus. This is going on a mission trip. We got a mission trip to Guatemala coming up. We just heard some of our graduating seniors are going on mission trips. If you've never been on a mission trip, Jesus didn't say go to one of these four. He just says go to all of these places. I think everyone should go on at least one mission trip in their life. It's amazing. One, it'll change your life. Like you'll come back a different person. One way or the other, you'll come back a different person. Most of the time, a better person. It'll change your life. But not only will it change your life, it's a directive of Jesus. He says, go into all the world. Share the good news. Share the story of Jesus. So maybe some of you in here have never been on a mission trip. I'm asking you today to consider going on next year's mission trip. It is too late for this year. You missed it. But that's okay. We're going to have another one next year. At least one, if not two. Who knows? Start praying about it. Start saving up so that you can go on a mission trip. I think everyone should go. Real quick before we move on here. I think a lot of Western Christians have gotten this whole idea of this, you know, this target here. They've gotten it flip-flopped. And so many Western Christians, when we hear the Great Commission, we only think of the ends of the earth. When we think of the Great Commission, we're like, oh, we're going to go into all the world. So that means we're all about going on mission trips. We'll fund missionaries. We'll go on mission trips. But we never share the gospel with our family, our sphere of influence, or our third places. We've just gotten it flipped. And Jesus said, go to all four. And where are you at the most? Jerusalem, your family, that's where we should be sharing the gospel the most. Now, there are others of us that we haven't gotten it flipped. We're all about sharing it with our family, but we just stop there. Because we're real good at staying. We're not good at going. But Jesus said we're supposed to be sharing the good news in all of these places. All right. Just checking my time. We're okay. We're okay for a few minutes. Now, I've been on a lot of mission trips. A lot of mission trips that were just incredible. Like, amazing mission trips. I've been to Thailand, Germany, Poland. And, I mean, God changed my life. We saw God do powerful things. It was incredible. But I remember my first mission trip, I was 14 years old, and my youth group went to Mexico. And I was so excited. I was really passionate for God in my teen years. I mean, I'm still passionate for God. But, like, I was really passionate back then. And I was praying about God's calling on my life. You know, and I felt like I was called into to full-time ministry. And so at this point, I thought, maybe I'm called into full-time missions. Like, I'm all about, like, you know, even at work, you know, sometimes they're like, hey, you know, Nathan, they call me Nate at work. Like, what do you want to do? I'm like, give me the biggest, most complicated problem to solve. That's what I want to work on. I like the really scary stuff. So I thought maybe I want to be a full-time missionary. We go to Mexico. The first 2 days are incredible. We're in Mexico, and I don't speak Spanish, but we're walking out. I'm using, like, my Spanish 1 and 2 from school as much as I can to, like, say hi, and then I get lost. But, and, like, we're grabbing kids, and we're bringing them to VBS, and we're seeing all these kids get saved and give their heart to Christ. I mean, just amazing stuff. But I will say, if you go on a mission trip, and they say don't drink the water, don't drink the water. But I'm a teenager, and I'm like, I'm called to missions. God's got me covered. I'm bulletproof. So by the third day, I just was like, whatever. And so I drank a little bit of the water, and then I spent 7 days being the sickest I've ever been in my life in a foreign country. And I didn't share the gospel with anybody else for 7 days. I was sick. We went like the day 8 or 9, we're like, we're going to go do some construction projects. And I showed up thinking I was good. I spent all day sick. I'm not going to go into detail, but it was not pretty sick. It was not good looking sick. You know, like, I was sick. I came home from the mission trip. My parents are like, how'd it go? How'd it go? I said, I am not called into full-time missions. That's what I learned from that trip. And it wasn't until years later that I had this idea in my head, like, well, I'm not called to be a full-time missionary. I'm called to be like a pastor, you know, and here in America, where the water is fine to drink most of the time. But it was years later, I'm sitting. And at this point, I'm already pastoring, like, we're youth pastoring in Colorado, and I'm at this conference listening to the speaker speak, and he reframed this whole thing so differently than I'd ever heard. And he said, so many times especially in our church cultures, we think of missionaries as people that leave this country and go to another, when Jesus, that's not in the Bible. Missionaries are all believers. We're all called to be missionaries to our families, our sphere of influence, our workplaces, our third places, and to the ends of the earth. And I begin to see, like, okay, maybe I'm not what we've traditionally called a full-time missionary, but what if I approached every Monday through Friday as if I am a believer, a follower of Jesus, who is on a specific mission to see the people around me come to know him? What if I took on that? I took on the same attitude when I go to a foreign country and I'm there and my sole purpose is to see people. My singular mission is to see these people come to know Jesus. What if I took that approach each and every day? How would my family, my workplace, my kids' sports, how would my day-to-day life look if I said every day I'm going to approach it as if I'm on the mission of Jesus? The great commission, the great mission of Jesus. Third thing, we're going to all the world. We're going to preach the good news. Number three, we're going to preach the good news, which is Jesus is alive. That's the good news. See, our words and our lives preach. Now, we think of preach and we think of, like, standing on a stage and doing what I'm doing here. No. That's just one form of preaching. The way we live our lives tells a story. The way we talk to other people shares some news. Our stories, our lives, the way we live them and the way we talk shares some sort of news. Are they sharing the good news of Jesus? That's the big question. Are we sharing the good news of Jesus with the way that we live? I got to skip a couple things here. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. The apostles kept asking Jesus in verse 6, Lord, has the time come to free Israel and restore our kingdom. See, what I want to show you here is that the apostles were thinking about political and cultural takeover. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. They were thinking about political and cultural realities. Political and cultural takeover. And Jesus answers their question with a redirection of vision. He says, you're thinking about a political and cultural takeover. What I'm talking about is so much more important and so much bigger than that. It's sharing the good news of Jesus so that eternity looks different. Not just this life, but there's an eternal perspective. Eternity looks different. See, the mission of Jesus isn't political or cultural takeover. The mission of Jesus is the good news. The mission of Jesus is for everyone to have a relationship with Jesus that then leads to heaven. Now, if we look at Facebook, Instagram, X, whatever social media, Snapchat, I don't even know all the social medias now. There's like 50,000 of them. If we look at all those and the stories that we see being shared, the stories and the conversations we have, I want us to just think, are they about the mission of Jesus? How much time do we spend sharing political or cultural news instead of sharing the good news of Jesus? Matthew 28:20, when Matthew records the Great Commission, the very last part of this, Jesus says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our takeaway from this is that you are not alone. You're not alone. Maybe you came in this morning and you feel alone. You're not alone. The good news is if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, he is always with you, even to the end of the age. And if you haven't done that, you can do that this morning. And then that promise will be for you. Jesus will always be with you. As we think about sharing the good news, I know it can be scary. You think, I don't know what to say. I don't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know all the theology of the Bible. It's good to know some. It's, you know, dive into the Word and study the Word, but you don't have to know all that to begin sharing the good news of Jesus. Because Jesus said, he's with you. There's a reason why we call it the Great Commission. It's a co-mission because we do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's co, meaning together, us and Jesus sharing his good news to other people. You're not alone. So, what can you do this week to fulfill the Great Commission? What can you do this week to fulfill the Great Commission? I said earlier, I felt called to full-time pastoral work. So I spent years doing ministry full-time. And then years ago, something happened I never thought would happen, but God flip-flopped it on me. And now I'm full-time worker, part-time pastor. And for a while, I struggled with this, thinking like, oh, am I not fulfilling my purpose and vision? But let me tell you, I have felt so much more alive and so much closer to Jesus when I'm sharing the good news of Jesus with people personally outside these walls than I ever have on stage. Well, yeah, it's great being up here. It's nice to be able to share. You feel like you're doing good things for the Lord. But I'm telling you, whenever I'm out and a coworker that I've been talking to and working on for a while, they know that I'm a believer and they're going into surgery and they say like, hey, I know we don't talk about this at work and stuff, but like, can you pray with me? And I'm just able to pray with them and love on them during the workday. Oh my, it's amazing. God wants to use you like that too. He wants to use all of us to do that. So we're going to end a little different this morning. I'm going to have you stand. And I'm going to pray a prayer of commissioning over all of us this morning. There might be some of you in here, you're listening to this, and the one thing you heard is that there are some people that are called to be missionaries in foreign countries, and that's resonating with you. That might be God calling you to be one of those people. We firmly believe there are people in our church family that are called to live in other countries and be full-time missionaries solely for the purpose of sharing the gospel. But there's a lot of us that are called to minister to our families, our coworkers, and then to go on short-term mission trips. So this morning, what I want to do is just teach us something that you probably already know. Maybe some of you don't, but some of us will be a reminder. But I want to teach us that when we pray honestly for God to open doors for us, God will open doors for us. So if we pray this morning, God, open the door for me to share your good news with coworkers or family members. And then if each morning we wake up and we say, God, would you use me today? Would you open doors for me to share your good news? He will open those doors. And then what will happen is when you see that door opening, you begin to talk, you're going to experience the Holy Spirit's power come on you. You're going to experience Jesus coming alongside of you and guiding you in what to say. So would you open your hands like this for me this morning? And then close your eyes and we're going to pray. Jesus, this morning, we accept the mission that you've given to us. God, we accept the directive that you've given to us to share your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your truth with the people around us, the people that we can influence. And this morning, God, we pray for open doors. We pray that you would open doors with our coworkers, with our family members, for us to share the good news, for us to share the truth that you are alive. And God, in this moment, I pray that you would commission Gateway Family Church, God, that we would have a renewed passion and a renewed vision to see this community, to see this city, and to see this world changed because of the gospel. God, I pray that you would call people to be full-time missionaries through this church family. You'd call people to be full-time pastors, God, but you'd call people, Lord Jesus, to be missionaries in every single day or every single aspect of their life each and every day. We love you and we praise you. And this morning we say we accept the mission in Jesus' name. Amen.